Thank you, Joyce. Let's turn to hymn number 54. We'll sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. Anybody too hot? All right. Okay. Let me... turn on the circulation fan. I won't turn on the air conditioning. Okay. All right. Hymn number 54. Singing. If you don't want to get a flat tire, I would recommend you not driving out through the normal way till we get that checked a little better. We've been doing everything we can to make sure there's no nails out there. We've been running the magnet. My wife's been picking them up with our car, so hopefully there aren't any for you left. But anyway, that's just you're welcome to use the driveway going out, but don't get upset with me. All right. Open your Bible, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You might call this message the message out of the telehandler. All right, we were sitting in a telehandler getting this message from the Lord yesterday, and then, of course, last night and this morning. But anyway, the title's message is The Perfect Imitators. All right, The Perfect Imitators. I've been praying about what message to preach, and I always do that. I mean, that goes kind of without saying, but I really desire that everyone that comes to our services leaves with something special. I mean, we can preach Bible, but I want it to apply to your heart, to apply to your life in one way or another, everybody. I mean, obviously, you've taken of your time to come. Obviously, you've spent of your fuel
to get here, and so you're expecting something. You're saying, Pastor, impress me, and I can't. But the Lord can impress upon your heart something special today. As we're in Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 17 if you'd follow along as I read out loud. But just follow along and see what the Lord has for you just in the message of the Word of God alone, and then we'll break it down and see if we can't even get some more gold nuggets out of that. All right. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord, so walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So very interesting passage. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. And Lord, just give me the words to say this morning. Matter of fact, I just pray that you would just give the message. Let the Holy Spirit move and have His free reign in my life and in my message today that you've given to us, and Lord, may the Holy Spirit move upon the people and their hearts that they might hear exactly what they need. And Lord, I know that the message is here for everyone, so just speak in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow. You know, today we're going to talk about the perfect imitators. And in light of introduction, think about it. Isn't it a special bond that a family can have? You know, there's that togetherness, that safety, that understanding and acceptance that's in a good family. You're going like, have you been in my house? Well, yes, probably. There's togetherness, right? You have the four walls holding you together. Well, you know what? There should be a togetherness in a family, though, that holds you together beside your walls. However, I do know that when you get more than one imperfect person with another imperfect person, it becomes a problem of unity, and we have struggles, and of course that's what we work with, but there's that togetherness in a family. Now, I don't know about you, but when I grew up, my brothers and sisters, we didn't always see eye to eye. Matter of fact, maybe we would have some spats and arguments, especially when Mom and Dad would go and leave my truant officer sister in charge, and now she's going to hear that on the internet or whatever. And what are you talking about? I won't tell her name, so they won't know. I had more than one. But anyway, you know, ever notice how a young person, when they get that authority, they can take it too far. But yet, you know what? Sometimes we didn't get along so well, but yet we're family. And I have noticed as watching different families that even though youngsters may argue a lot, they accept each other. They may not necessarily like what the other does, but they accept them anyway. And you know what? That's because we're family. In the family of God, whose standard do we have to measure up to? Well, it should be God's standard, not anybody else's. But when we're if you measure up to God's standard, wouldn't you think that that would be quite acceptable with most? And so we need to be strong. There is safety, there is understanding, and there is acceptance, even amidst the many struggles that we have. I still remember in high school, and there was this one family there, and I still remember the name. That's unusual for me, maybe because they made such an impact on my life. But they fought like cats and dogs. You ever see a family like that? They just on each other's case. But forbid that you should ever pick on one of them. because they instantly became joined together and you were in trouble. And you couldn't talk them out, you couldn't back them off. And so that's why I remember it so well. Well, God wants us to realize something today. God wants us to realize that we're family. If you're a child of God, you're family. Now, this is beyond what the world has to say for a family. Now, a family is special, but what the world doesn't have anything, this special bond, this great bond that's superior to any earthly family that God has to offer in the church, in His family. The world doesn't have anything like that. They may have lodges, they may have societies, they may have get-togethers, but it's not anything in comparison to the special family orientation that we have in the body of Christ. Yeah, and so I just want to spend today's message challenging you to your special position in God's family. I want you to leave here excited about who you are and the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. And so that's going to be my whole goal. Are there some negatives in here? Well, it's all in how you look at it. If you're in someone's family, that means you're not in another, right? And so we're in the family of God. That means we're not going to be in the old world that we used to be. And so, yes, there's going to be some negatives that you're going to have. And so we'll look at that a little bit, but that's not the main focus of the message today. But, you know, there's this individual, person, created being, who hates families. Do you know why he hates families so much? He hates families because God instituted the family. And he hates the church because God instituted the church. And he hates God. He hates anything that looks like God, represents God, or resembles God. And as children of God, guess what? What do kids do? They're to look like their father. And his name is Satan. Or his name is the devil. And is he real? And people are trying to tell me anymore that Satan's not real. Well, my Bible says he's real, he's alive, and he's well, and he's doing everything he can to destroy the family of God as well as your personal family at home. So you have to fight him on all sides. But here, as we were reading in Ephesians, and if we were to go back and study in Ephesians chapter 4, I've called that often the change chapter, because once you get saved, there's some things that God wants us to put off and some things to put on. In other words, take off the junk, get new equipment. New, improved, better equipment. How many of you like it when you could get a new car or a new pickup? You know, I'm thinking all the men out here, oh yeah, new pickup, that would be good. You know, and all ladies, hey, you know, a new car would be all right. And so, you know, we're always wanting something new. Well, God gave us a new life. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And so that's the start of the message, but we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. And he's talking about the new family, the special place for you and a special role for you. So, title, The Perfect Imitator. Let's look at verse 1 again. It says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." What does he call you there, children? What is a child? Well, a child is your offspring. They're the little creatures, creations, the little people in your house, and I just have a new grandbaby, and I'm always proud of that. And you look at her and her little fingers, you ever notice? She's a perfect person. Everything is there, just miniature. And now my little grandson said, you know, baby, he's all happy about the baby now. He isn't jealous so much anymore. But as you look at this little person, I notice in them character traits of their parents. You know, when they're at the baby stage, I don't usually see the person, you know, the resemblance so much, but you know how the mothers are. Oh, they look just like so-and-so. Depends on what side of the family are, which side they look like, right? Oh, they look just like so-and-so. But when they get older, I start to notice other things that they look like bad habits that the parents used to have coming out automatically in the sins of the little ones. And, of course, all the parents are trying to break that in their kids, right? Not ever wanting to admit that that's just the way they are, too. But, you know, as we see the children here, it says, represent the parents, or they emulate or imitate. But it says, "Be therefore followers of God as," and I want you to get the word before children, "dear children." So you're not like Cinderella. I don't usually use stuff like that, but Cinderella was what? Living with a stepmother or whatever, and she was hated. You're not some redheaded stepchild with God. And still, in all respect, I just want you to stop and think. A lot of people think that if you're a child of God, He doesn't let you do anything. You don't have any fun. Life as you know it ends now. That's not so. Life begins, and you are His dear child. There's a big difference. This is special. You are dear to Him. You are, if God had favorites, His favorite. Because everybody's His favorite. He just loves you so much. He loves those that aren't His children. He died for them. The only problem is they won't accept Him, and He doesn't force Himself on anybody. He demonstrated His love. You know what? He showed His love to you whether you wanted Him to or not. But He won't force you to take it. And that's one of the important things about loving God. And so we see here, He says, not redhead children, you're my dear children. And God wants us to realize that. He wants us to realize that you're special to Him, that you're loved by Him. And He wants you to accept what comes along with this role. You know what? A good home brings a sense of belonging, love, and self-worth. You ever notice children that have a bad home life are insecure, seeking purpose to their life? But when you're a child of God, He shows you the true purpose that you do have. And so you need to be close to Him. He loves you so much. And by the way, I have a note here. God wants you to be sure that you've joined His family. Now, how do you join God's family? Through adoption. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to be what? Become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So if you're not a child in the family yet, I challenge you to join up, because it's the best decision I ever made at 4 years old. And you say, that's pretty young. But I still remember it today. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and what a joy that's been. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. So, now, let's step on to the next one. So you're not a rejected child, you're a special, dear child. But children who love their parents often imitate their father or their mother. Now, I'm going to talk about the father because God is our Heavenly Father, right? I want to keep the role there. So I've talked to a lot of people who had poor fathers, by the way, that really eschews their view of God, the Heavenly Father. But God, the Heavenly Father, is the perfect Father. And so I want you to look at Him in light of that and not in light of maybe the imperfect father that you had. But here we see that children who love their parents want to imitate them. How many of you remember following your parents around in their... Any of you ever try on their clothes? I remember my dad always used to wear boots because he was a farmer. And so he would farm out here just south of town, south of Melville there. And I remember as a kid, he would have his boots sitting there by the door sometime. And so guess what I would do? I'd step way up and I'd overcome the top and I'd get into those boots. And boy, that was lots of fun. I still remember the feel of them flopping around on your foot, but I'm in Dad's boots. And you try to walk and you take three steps before the boot takes one, you know, and it's just a lot of fun. I'm wondering, man, he's big. And so I want to do everything that Dad did. So I remember, you know, maybe he'd be leaning over on the car. So guess what I would do? I'd move over and I'd look, see how he's doing it, and then I would try and copy that. You ever do that? You guys remember, that brings back good memories, doesn't it? And how many of you then parents remember how your kids copied you? Out of the corner of your eye, you know, you've just been sitting there like this, and out of the corner of your eye you see someone over going like, you know, trying to get it just right. I found this illustration the other, as I was digging through some different notes, and here's the story. I think it goes along so well with this, because you see, God intends us to be a healthy arrangement. One day, a drunkard was on his way to the saloon to get a drink early in the morning after beautiful snow had fallen the night before. But as he walked through the snow, his feet made imprints in the snow. Now, he had a little boy that was about 4 years old. Now, the little boy was the apple of his eye, the joy of his own life. But he had not gone very far when he heard something crunching in the snow behind him. When he turned to look, it was his little son. You see, the little boy was stretching his little legs as far as he possibly could, taking long steps. The father said, "Son, what on earth are you doing?" The boy replied, "Daddy, I'm stepping in your tracks." The story goes that instead of going to the saloon, that father picked up his little boy, pulled him close, wrapped his coat around the shivering little boy, and returned home, never to enter the saloon again. Why? because his little boy was walking in his footsteps. I think that's quite a challenge to us. We have people following in our footsteps. And so who do you want to imitate? I want to imitate my Lord and Savior because his footsteps were perfect. And he loves me and I love him. Remember, the Bible says we love him because what? He first loved us. So with that in mind, I lost my place. I'm sorry. I got this all printed out today. God's footsteps will always lead you in the right direction. So following God is where the glory is. Now, before I get into the message, I want to mention there's two groups of extremists. And you know that I've mentioned this before, and I've just noticed this basically from the wisdom of others. Older folks have told me. They said, Pastor or Corey, depends on whether I was pastor yet or not, they would say things like, you realize that people have the pendulum effect? They're either all the way over this way or they're all the way this way, and they have trouble with balance. A friend of mine worked in the military. He was retired from the military. He said the military was the same way. It was all this, and they found, oh, that didn't work, so then they take it all away. And they needed a balance. And we need a balance in our Christian walk. But we get so many extremists, and here they are. There's two extremes right now. One of them is the legalizers. In other words, those who walk in Christ's footsteps because they're afraid not to. Now, you're going to say, well, don't you believe in walking in Christ's footsteps? You're looking at someone who believes that we should always walk in Christ's footsteps. However, I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I get to. But legalizers will say you have to. Matter of fact, if you get into a legalistic group of believers, they'll think that everybody has to be exactly the same. And I don't have time to dig in this too much, but in other words, you need to conform to be just like everybody else, little robots, so to speak, or everybody exactly the same. Let me explain. The Bible says that unity is the coming together through the Holy Spirit of everybody's diversity. That's what makes things strong. I mentioned in the adult Sunday school class, how would you like it if everybody was like you? And I said, nobody wants that. And then I made a mistake. I said, you don't want everybody to be like you. Well, then I get myself in trouble. But no, we don't want everybody to be like me. Stop and think about it. If everybody was like you, what would this world be like? Some people say, oh, it'd be perfect. You know what? There's a lot of things we lack and other people fill in. And what God does is He uses that diversity and He gives each of us different spiritual gifts to serve in the ministry of the local church to be a complete body. And just think, if your whole body was a finger. How about if your whole body was a toe? Think about it. What if your whole body was an eye? You couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't turn. Couldn't see. You'd just see what was in front of you. But then there'd be no brain to process it. You see, our body needs every member to operate to its fullest. And a church body is the body of Christ. And this is a local body called out assembly of believers right here meeting today. And we all have a special role that God has given to us to serve in His ministry. I'm getting off the point. But I'm just saying is God can use you, your talents, your personality, in His work. That's an exciting thing. Well, you know what? I used to think that I had to be like somebody else before I could serve God. I grew up in the church and I always thought, you know, like, look how good that pastor is. You know, I even have that problem now as a pastor. Sometimes I get with pastors and I talk with them for a while and I go like, wow, this guy, now he's got his ducks in a row. And this man's very talented. Lord, you need more people like that. What are you doing? You know, I'm way behind. I start looking down at myself and I say, no, wait a minute. God uses each person in his specific area and his task of work. So you are important. And then there's the others who are the liberals who, you know what, they follow in the world's footsteps. They say, all I care is that I'm saved and I don't care how I live. Well, that's the two extremes. Let's just get back to where we follow Christ because we love him. Isn't that what God wants? He said it many times, that he loves us. He said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. Now, is he still not Lord? Yes, he is. But he's shown his love toward us in such a special way that we can be special to him. I better keep moving along here. But we follow Christ because we love him. So, if I have a bad habit that the Bible says is something I need to give up, why should I change? Why should I give that up? Because my church says so? Because that's the standard rule? Or because it pleases Jesus Christ? I hope you do it because it pleases Jesus Christ. Because if you do it for me, you say, oh, I want to please Pastor Pepley. There's no glory in that.
There's no reward in that. If you do it for the Lord Jesus Christ, though, now that pleases the Father. And there is reward and honor in that. So, let me just share some things this morning about, as God's children, who we are. First of all, as God's children, we are children of love. In 1 John 4:8, it says this, "He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." Did you get that verse? Let me read it to you again. "He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." What is that saying? Is God love or not? Yes, He is. And so, Paul, could I get you to go take that board off that air conditioner? It's getting pretty hot in here, and I can't turn it on until it's off. Yeah, thank you. And so God is love. The second thing that I want you to realize, not only are we children of love, but we're children of light. In John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says this, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." So not only do we reflect and imitate Christ's love, we also shine as lights and spread the gospel message for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're also children of wisdom. In Proverbs 1:7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so where do we get our wisdom from? It's from our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and the last one is, we are children of God. So that's His plan for the local church. Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And let's get back into this a little bit. And let me switch on this here. All right. In Ephesians 5, 2, it says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So how in the world do I serve God? How do I be His child to its fullest? How do I benefit from all the privileges that are there as a child of God? Did you notice the first two words? It says walk and walk in love. How many of you ever have walked like this? I'm just standing here. Can you just stand or sit around and walk? Now, wasn't that profound? Did you get that? How profound that? You're going to go home and say, you know what Pastor Pepley taught us? That if you're sitting there or standing still, you're not walking.
You know what? In our Christian lives, we say that we have a Christian walk and we're just sitting around or we're standing still and not doing anything for the Lord. And we're so happy that we're walking with God. If we're not doing anything, we're not walking. And if you're not walking in North Dakota, what happens? Now, I make a joke of this because most of the time we got snow or ice or wind. Sometimes the wind here is so strong that you don't need ice. It still blows you around. So you have to walk against it. Some days you can walk like this, you know, against the wind and, you know, you don't fall over. If the wind quits, you're done for. So what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that if you're not walking forward for God, you automatically are backsliding. And they used to talk about backsliding in churches all the time. And I just want to know, what is the definition of backsliding? It's sliding back into the old life that I came out of. And that is so easy. Does it take effort to backslide? None at all. Does it take effort to walk? Yes, that's why I like to drive. You know, when I was a kid and I had a motorcycle, I loved to drive my motorcycle. I rode my motorcycle everywhere on the farm. If somebody needed a sheet of plywood, I did everything I could to carry it on the motorcycle. And I still remember trying to carry plywood with the motorcycle. I made it. Probably, I don't know how I didn't kill myself. But we got there. I'm sure it was more work than walking. But I had a motorcycle. Why walk, right? And so, you know what? If you're not walking, you're backsliding. And our Christian walk is daily. And so I just wanted to note there it says, and walk in what? In love. So there's the key word. And so, what is my example of love? Well, I just want to quickly say what Jesus Christ has done that I can imitate. It says here, there was an offering. What's an offering? It's a gift, something you give. When you go and give an offering to the church or somewhere else, do you say, now what do I get in return? Nobody does that, right? When they give an offering to the church, they don't say, God, now I expect that you give this back. Is that a true offering? Now, I'm going to get into trouble on this because there's a lot of preachers out there on the TV in places saying, if you'll just send in your check for $1,000, all of your bills will be met. And if you send in $10,000, I will send you this hanky. And it is a blessed hanky, and you can keep that with you, and everything you do will be prosperous. That, first of all, is not giving for the right reason. And God doesn't need to work bargains. God loves you. He already has everything in store for you that's best for you. He doesn't need your money, and He doesn't demand it. He says, give it out of a heart of love. You know what? It's kind of like when I used to buy something from my dad. I say, Dad, what do you want for your birthday? You know what he would say? Good children. I'm like, no, Dad, you don't really want that. What do you really want? He said, no, I want good children. And so I don't know what that says about me. But anyway, so Dad's goal was what? He wanted the affection and obedience of his children. He had what he needed. But you know what? I would save and I would save and I would save and I would save anyway because I wanted to get him something. And after I... Oh, no. Everything's fighting me on this message today. The devil doesn't want you to leave here encouraged. And so... that there. All right. Let's see. Back where were we? I would save and save my money up because I wanted to get him something special. And I still remember the year I bought him a new drill. Now, I'm not telling you why he needed a new drill, but one of his sons, his oldest son, had left it where it didn't belong and it got broke. But anyway, I wanted to replace that drill for him. And so I saved up and saved up and I brought that package and I just waited. And I waited for him because when he opened that package, I wanted to see what? A smile of approval. You know why I bought that? Because if I didn't buy that, my dad was going to beat me. No. I bought that. He had already forgiven me for destroying his other drill. Oh, ooh, I wasn't supposed to let that out. But you know what? My Heavenly Father has already forgiven me. And He's demonstrated His love to me. And He wants me to be able to serve Him because He loves me and I love Him. And so when I gave that to my dad, there was a smile on his face. But you know what? I don't think the smile was so much about the drill. I think the smile was because he knew that his son really loved him. And you know, that's what God wants, is our love back, our affection in return. Does God really care? Yes. He offered his life, and all we have to do is offer back to him that pleases him. He sacrificed. Now, by the way, when you give a sacrifice, you've laid it on the altar. You know, when they sacrificed an animal on the altar, it wasn't getting back off. Think about that. And when we sacrifice ourselves on the altar, now, God says He wants us to give ourselves a living sacrifice. But quit getting back off the altar. If you give yourself to the Lord, stay there and live for Him and experience the blessings that He has. Imitate Christ because you love Him. Imitate Christ because it is the right thing to do, and imitating God makes God proud. So now let me get to the last point. How do I imitate Christ? Well, I walk in Him, and that's moving forward, and I avoid the old ways. Look at verse 3. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. So now, wait a minute. You got a negative here, Pastor. I wanted to come to church today and only have positive. Well, you can still have positive. Live for Christ. And all this other stuff is going to be out the door. But we have this idea that we want to still fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So point number one here is dethrone the lusts. In other words, what are the first list? Well, there's immoral walk. And we don't have to go into all those things because we're going to run out of time. But you can study those through there. This fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, by the way, that so many Christians are involved in today. God says it's wrong. And fornication, by the way, is living together when you're not married. These things are against God's plan. It's not just okay. It's not just common law and God accepts it as okay. He instituted marriage and these things are contrary to His Word. A Christian needs to imitate Jesus Christ. But look at verse 4. Not only the immoral walk, but we see the impure talk. Now, we could spend all day on this. But people here as Christians, we don't have a problem with our tongue, do you? If you read James, you'll find out that we all do. But this is one of the biggest areas you probably might have to deal with as a Christian. It says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Do we ever talk just foolishly? It says, or jesting. Here that means vulgar, suggestive speech. Cutting remarks, things like that. I used to think it was cool when I was growing up as a teenager to be able to come back with those quick cutting remarks. I got pretty good at it. And I could, what would you say? do it with the best of them, is what we thought. But then the Holy Spirit one day says, you know, that's not the kind of spirit that Jesus did. Did you see Jesus going around cutting people down? Did he ever go, burn? Because that's what we used to do. Got you on that one. No. The Lord Jesus Christ showed love in his speech. And he was building people up. And he got to my heart and he says, we got to quit this. That which are not convenient, but rather giving of what? Thanks. There's a contrast. Here's the positive. If you give thanks for what God has done for you, all of that other speech is going to go by the wayside. And there's a lot of speech there that needs to go by the wayside. Filthiness and foolish talking. The list goes on and on. So the antidote for all of your lusts, your immoral walk and your impure talk is rather giving of thanks. Why do we live immorally? Because we're not satisfied with what we've got. Why do we say what we say? Because we're not satisfied with who people are or the way things are going. You know, the Bible talks here, if we were to go on talking about this unclean person and as we read on here in verse 5, it says here, nor covetous man who is an idolater. Now, how many of you would feel that you were guilty of idolatry here? How many of you have a... And here's what I thought of when I was growing up. Well, an idolater is a person who in his house has shelves full of idols, and he bows down and worships those idols. But what is idolatry biblically? Idolatry biblically is when we put anything before God. So let's stop and think about this for a minute. If I'm coveting things, that means I put that before God. Basically, if I'm complaining with what I have, I'm saying, God, you haven't given me what's rightfully mine. So I'm going to go get it. Have you ever thought about asking God for what you're desiring? Is He going to give you something that will hurt you? No. But can He give you something better than you can afford? Yes. So it's something good for you. A loving Father wants to give you that. So why not just follow Him? Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Something happened to me this week, and I can't share it with you. Let's get the wrong idea here. But something that I really wanted that I wasn't able to get. I guess I'll share it with you. You may think that it's boasting, but I just wanted to do what God wanted to do, and we didn't have a lot of time, and I knew that the project was coming up here to Shingling and all. And so I just said, oh, Lord, you know, if you want to get a deer, it's up to you. I'll just take whatever comes by. And so I was ready. I had a buck take, so it has to be a buck, right? And the Lord sends along a son-in-law and some other people to help me get all set up. And I'm setting out there, and He tells me, it's right over there. So God even sent me some eyes. And lo and behold, the Lord allowed me to get a 5x5, which is the biggest deer I've ever got. Now, some of you may laugh because you've gotten bigger, but I have to tell you this. Was that a desire? Yeah, I didn't really expect anything like that. What I'm just telling you is if you serve God and put Him first, He'll take care of the other things. I didn't have to sit out there all week long. I don't have to skip church to be getting one, to get a deer. God gave me one. And I just want us to realize that, you know what, putting God first and loving Him and serving Him, He's still, you're not missing out on anything. Sorry for the mumbled dumbness of the speech and conversation here, but do you realize that you put God first, He'll take care of you? You understand that God just wants your love. He wants you to imitate Him, and that's where life is all about. So avoid the old ways, the immoral walk, the impure talk. The antidote for your lusts is the giving of thanks. And by the way, in verses 5 through 7, he says, beware of the counterfeits. The devil has plenty of counterfeits out there, and he's got plenty of preachers up there telling you prosperity living and all these other things. Matthew 6:33 says nothing about that. This says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all the things shall be added unto you. That's a promise. But we don't do it to get rich quick. Thirdly, allow the family resemblance to show on you. Okay? Got 4 minutes. I'm wrapping this up. But allow Christ's family resemblance to show on your life. Have you ever been somewhere and they said, that's so-and-so's kid? Usually that happens when the person is tearing up the place. You know, they're having a really bad attitude and they're not controlled and they just break something expensive and they go like, whose kid is that? And I hope it's not the Pepley's kids. Because what? That's a representation of us. My dad used to say, remember whose family you're in. Remember you're a Pepley. He had a good reputation, as far as I know and as far as I've heard, and he wanted that to be kept that way. The Lord Jesus Christ had a perfect reputation. I want to follow that, and I want to emulate that. You know what? I was proud to be called a Pepley. I really was. When I moved back here, so many things, because of my father's reputation, were extended freely to me. And I always thanked people for that and didn't want to abuse that. You know what? As a believer, you are a child of God, along with all the benefits that go with being in His family, so resemble it. You know, if you were to be adopted into a king's family, which, by the way, you are, because He's King of Kings, don't you think that a king's kid would dress and act and walk differently than someone out of the gutter? And so there is a change. We do it because we love them. Secondly, there's a change of character in verse 8. There's a change of conduct in verse 9. And here's another illustration I found that was very interesting. One day a new convert was being questioned by his old buddies about his new lifestyle in Christ. Now his old buddies questioned him and said, didn't Jesus turn water into wine? So why in the world don't you drink anymore? The new Christian said this, well, I don't know much Bible yet, and I don't know much about Jesus turning water into wine, but I do know that God turned beer into furniture at my house. And I just want to challenge you. God, if you follow Him and live for Him because you love Him, has blessings in store that you'll never imagine. So, there's been a change in character, a change in conduct, and the last one is there's a change in criterion. Now, that's a big word spelled very shortly, but there's a song. How many of you ever heard this song? The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. That's a very common song amongst the Christian circles, but that's a true song. And what's this change in criterion? Look at verse 10, and let's close with these ideas here. It says, is proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, when I'm going to do something, instead of saying, is this fun? Is this what I want? I'm going to use this. Is this acceptable to the Lord? That's my new thought process. Is my behavior acceptable to the Lord? Is my behavior like Jesus Christ? You know, I have seen little wristbands that go WWJD. You ever seen those? What do those stand for? What would Jesus do? You know, I like the idea behind that, but I find a danger in that. Because a lot of people just go ahead and do what they think Jesus would do. But you know what I wish they said? WDJD. What did Jesus do? Because in His Word, He shows how He responded to certain situations. And I'm not knocking down that band. But I just want to get folks to think a little bit beyond that. How well do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? How well do you know how He would respond in a certain situation and how to react and do things like Christ would? You need to know Him personally. You need to know Him in His Word so that when you come to that situation, it's not like, I wonder what He would do. It's, what did He do? And then we do it. It's the same thought. They're wanting to do what Jesus did. But we really need to know how He lived His life. Because we're going to do what? Imitate Him. And our children, remember when they're imitating you? They're looking at you and they're seeing if they're the same. And that's the challenge for us today. Are you looking to Jesus to see if you're an imitation of Him? Verses 14 through 16, I could preach a whole message on, but what it's saying here is time is short. So will you say this? Will you say to God, now no disrespect in this, some people can take this in the wrong way, but as a child of God and in all respect, we're saying, Daddy, am I stepping in your footsteps? Am I following you, Father, each step of the way? Will you purpose to be led by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? Verse 17 says this, wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If you want to know what God's will is for you personally in your life, here it is. To walk in Jesus' footsteps. That's as simple as can be. Now, that little simple statement is a never-ending life process, but walking in Christ's footsteps. let's go ahead and close with the invitation today. And we're going to turn to hymn number 396. Now, this was Pastor Davidson's favorite song because he wanted nothing between him and his Savior. I hope that that's your heart cry today. Will you, during this time, say, Lord, is there something in my life that is not pleasing to you? I want to change that. Let's stand, sing 396, Nothing Between. Close in prayer, and I hope that you'll stick around. We have Thanksgiving fellowship food downstairs, and we'll just thank the Lord for all He's done for us through this year. Our Heavenly Father, I sure do love You, and Lord, I just pray that You would bless the feeble attempt to share with these fine folks, these wonderful folks, the joy that there is in imitating and following Jesus Christ out of love. Lord, may we as a church see great things done for You, because that is the pattern. We love God, we love the brethren, and then we love those that are lost. Lord, help us to fulfill Your commission and see many people come to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.